Keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
That just looks angry, doesn't it? All that red just makes it look angry, make you feel angry. Everybody good? Everybody good and angry yet? Trying to get you pumped up. How many of you have been angry this week? Anybody? Anybody out there yet? A few people are honest. Let me ask it this way. How many of you have driven on I-20 this week? Yeah, there you go. I drove, and some guy told me I was number one when I was driving down there yesterday. But, yeah, so maybe Benton Road, if that didn't get you, I-20 didn't get you. How about Benton Road at the end of the day? Maybe Uri Drive, 70th Street, all this kind of thing. Yeah, they drive. That's one thing that happens. It just gets us angry about stuff. And we just, it just, things like that happen and we just get angry. At my house, we call it going posados. And I'll give you a quick background on that story. We call it going posados because one day we went to posados and my wife and I were there and had our lovely Mexican fare of food and it came time to leave. If you've been to the Benton Bossier Posados right there off of Benton Road, you know that the exit is out of the back of the building. So you pull out of the parking lot, you go behind the building, and it has parking spaces on one side, and it has one lane. So we go to pull out, it's almost dark. We go to pull out, I'm first one, there's two or three people pulling behind me, and I'm slowly moving across there because I'm always worried with some guy going out to throw away leftover chips or something, and I'm afraid I'm just gonna nail him, and then that would not be good on my driving record at least. But we're there and we're going, and all of a sudden there's a guy that pulls in a pickup truck from the other side and he's wanting to come in. Well, here's the problem. There's no way for me to pull over to the side and let him around. And so we stop and it's kind of like the old Mexican standoff. Two people got that, good. So we're standing there and I'm in my vehicle and he's in his vehicle and nothing's happening. I'm going, I don't know what this guy's thinking. And all of a sudden my wife, who I've never seen this before, she just says, let me go talk to him. And she gets out of the car and starts walking towards the pickup. And all I can think of was 10 o'clock news, woman in rage, or woman gets killed or run over by a truck at Posada, something like that. And I'm going, and I can't get out because of the I'm like already over the buildings here. And I'm like, there's no way I can get out. I got to crawl over the seat. And so I'm sitting here listening to her talking to this guy. And as she's talking, she takes another step closer. And then the last thing I hear, I'm able to hear, because not only is she talking now, but she's really not talking, she's yelling. So the volume has been turned up and she's telling this guy, you got to move. We got people behind us, and I'm sitting here going, and then she goes, do I need to go call 911? I knew that. I had that number. I have that one down. And I figured that because her, and now look, and her phone's sitting in the car, so I was like, well, she decides to do that. She's got to get back in the, so now at this point, I'm going, honey, get back in the car, get back, because we don't know what this guy's going to do. So it was a whole different level of anger that happened in her world and in my world at the time. And so henceforth and forevermore, we call it going posadas. So it'll happen that way. But anger is that. Anger happens. It's one of those things that just jumps up on us. It is an emotion. It's a valid emotion. Sometimes it's called the second emotion. Sometimes it's called a red flag emotion. It's those things that tell us things are going on, something's fixing to happen or something didn't happen. But there are also different kinds of anger. And they're really kind of break down into two camps. One's called constructive anger, the other destructive anger. Constructive anger does this. Constructive anger focuses on what others aren't getting that they deserve. If you look at a situation and you see that situation and you think, man, I can't believe that's happening to this person, and it makes you do something, it has this visceral response inside of you, that is constructive anger, and that's okay. Jesus showed anger. One time the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus to break the law or catch him breaking the law on the Sabbath on their Sunday by healing somebody. And Jesus, being Jesus, knew what was going on. And Mark, he said this. It says, he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm, to save a life, or to kill? He was asking them, hey guys, you want to catch me breaking the law? Let me ask you this question. Is it lawful for me to do good, even though it's Sunday, or to do harm? Is it lawful for me to save a life or to kill? Mark goes on, he said, but they kept silent. The Pharisees had nothing to say. Looking around at them with anger, it says, after looking around at them with anger, grieved in the hardness of his heart, Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And it says he stretched out his hand and his hand was restored. Jesus looked at a situation that was not right and took that opportunity to do something about it. Said he was angry about it. It's like what's happened here before when two women in our church got angry about the plight of women and children walking 118 miles a month to collect dirty water. And so as a result of that, they decided to do something about it. And they created a walk for 118 miles over a 3-day period. And here's a picture of some of those that walked that year. And so they decided to have this walk to raise money for funds for a well. And then on top of that, a team was able to go and drill the well. That's constructive anger. That's righting a wrong. It's fighting an injustice. It's looking out for the little guy, whatever way you want to say it. And history is filled with people who have done that before. History is filled with people who have gone out and done good things because of the anger that welled up inside of them. But that ain't the anger we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the other anger. We're going to talk about what that anger does to us and through us. And look at what anger really is, what destructive anger is, what does it look like? And just for you, I was able to find this video that gives you a little picture of what anger does inside of me and then inside of you. I'll check it out.
Dessert. Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this. Ah! These are my kind of people. That's the one. It comes with a dragon.
Babies.
Get off of me. Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza. First the Hawaiians, and now you. Gordon, scream that curse word we know. It's a good one.
Now, hold on.
Can I say that curse word now?
Oh, I'll show you attitude, old
man. No. Stay happy.
Yes,
again. You like to read minds, Meg? I got something for you to read
wait,
here.
Let's just be copper once again. You're saying we run away?
Well, I wouldn't call it that. I'd call it the Happy Core Memory Development Program.
You can't be serious.
Hey, our life was perfect until Mom and Dad decided to move to San Fran Stinktown.
Triple income
will make you smile.
Did I ask for that commercial?
So, how are we going to get to Minnesota from here?
Well, why don't we go down to the elephant lot and rent an elephant?
Hey, that sounds nice.
We're taking the bus, nitwit. We saw it last.
Triple income.
No!
You got it? Everybody feeling it? Yeah, anger is that. Destructive anger is that way. Destructive anger focuses on what I'm not getting. I'm not getting my way. I'm not getting what I deserve. I deserve that, and anger says, you know what? You owe me. It sets up that debt and debtor relationship, which you look at another person and say, you owe me, and so I'm getting angry at this situation. And some of you may sit back and you may go, well, I don't get angry. I just get frustrated. That's what I do. I get frustrated. Well, how's that working for you? How's that frustration working for you? Because typically frustration becomes anger, and you just spew it out, and it creates, again, that debtor relationship. And we know it because this is what we say. We say, I don't get mad. I get even. Exactly right. I don't get mad. I get even. That's what's going to happen. And as a recovering stuffer, I can tell you that I'm also kind of got that little passive aggressive side to me. And you know, those others that are passive aggressives in the room, you can appreciate that because you know how you can stab somebody in the back and they never know it. You just done it. But when you get angry, that anger comes in and you either shove it down or you shout it out. And that's normally what happens to us. We either shove it down inside of us. I'm going to stuff it in. I just mentioned to you, I am a recovering stuffer. I grew up that way. I can remember as a kid when I would do things that my parents didn't like, which I know most of you are shocked that that would happen for me. But I would do things and my parents would, I would disobey my parents. And I'm going to go ahead and sound old here, guys. I got whippings. I got whoopings. It would be, usually my dad would do it with a belt or my mom would do it with, she called it a yardstick, but it looked to me like a 2x4. And she would come in. And they would, I would get a spanking. Naturally, it hurt, so I would cry. And then I would take off, and they would go, I want you to go to your room and don't come out until what happens? Until dinner, right. Or until you stop crying. Don't come out. And so what that taught me to do was, there's those emotions, stuff it. And you may identify with that, or you may be on the other side of things. You may be a shouted out person. So whenever you get ticked, you're coming at it. I'm going to tell you right now what you did wrong and what you owe me. But anger, that type of anger has an effect on us. It has an effect on our bodies. Look at this slide. Look what it just gives you an example of what anger does. Decreased blood flow through the digestive system, slow metabolism, increased heart rate and blood pressure. Your pressures ever rise up? Yeah. You get angry. Frequent headaches and migraines, increased pressure inside your eyes. You heard that phrase before, his eyes about to pop out? Maybe he's a little bit angry. But that's what anger does. Anger comes at us and it affects our body physically. But where does it come from? Where does that anger happen? Where does it come from? Glad you asked. Jesus gave us the insight. Jesus gave us insight into where anger comes from and what happens because the Pharisees had asked him a question about washing hands before they eat. The disciples wouldn't do it. It came time to eat a meal. They wouldn't wash their hands. And I know every mother in this room is saying, ooh, what's wrong? Why didn't you wash your hands? You always wash your hands. But Jesus, again, told them a story. He told them a parable about what really defiles a person. And he finishes the story, and Peter, one of his 12, comes up to him, and he's like, hey, in Matthew 15, it shows us what he says. He says, Peter said, hey, explain this parable to us. Jesus, you know, time out. Explain what's going on. And I love Jesus' first response. He says, are you still so dull? Peter, have you not figured this out yet? You know, hello, McFly, wake up. Hey, buddy, here. Listen to what I'm telling you. He said to them, he said, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? Gives them a biology lesson real quick. Guys, think about this. You eat, it goes into your stomach and out the body. And Peter, you know what we're talking about because we paid for it all when you had that burrito the other day. And he said, it comes out. He gave him that. Then he goes on, he continues on, he says this. He says this, but look, I want you to understand what comes out of a person's mouth is not what defiles them, but it's what comes in, what comes from within. It's what comes out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and it defiles them. It's a what. It's what comes out. It's what we say. It's what we say that affects our mood. And right now, you may be going, no. It's not a what. It's a who. It really is a who. Because, hey, I mean, do you know my wife? I mean, she is always just, na-na-na-na-na. You never pick things up. You never do this. And look, she can tell me I never pick up my underwear, but you know what? 3 years ago, I picked up my underwear, so there. And we get angry about it. Or you go, no, it's my husband. You don't understand, guys. It's not a what, it's a who. It's my husband. He's Mr., you know, mayor of the city, kind of nice guy, shaking hands and kissing babies when he's all at work and everybody loves him, comes to church and he's all smiles. But you know what? When we get home, it's like walking on eggshells. And we got to be careful about what, or you know what, really? It's my boss. I have an impossible boss. I mean, he's always on me. He's always micromanaging. He's always trying to tell me what, it's my boss. And if you had my boss, you'd be angry too. Or maybe it's my teacher. Yeah, I mean, she gives me all this homework. She's always messing me, telling me to sit up and do right. And we go through this big list of the who's in our life that push us. And Jesus says, no, it's not about the who, it's about the what. It's about what's inside that comes out when we're shaken. When somebody hits us and there's conflict and we're shaken, you're saying, well, your reply to that is, well, just don't shake me. Don't shake me and there won't be a problem. But Jesus said, no, it's what's inside that affects us. It's what's inside that affects our mouth and our mood, what we say and how we act. And oftentimes, and this is a true statement, follow with me and y'all hang with me for just a few minutes. A lot of times, those things that make us angry, those things that cause it to spew up from within us, are things that are not even related to the person that we're getting angry at. Matter of fact, it can be something that happened years ago. Have you seen anybody like that? Have you come across anybody like that? That's just like always angry, always negative, Debbie Downer, always bad, No, let me ask you this question. How long? How long are you going to allow people that you don't like, who are no longer in control of your life, to have control of your life? How long are you going to allow that to happen in your life and let someone else control you in such a way because you're angry? Because why? Because you owe me. That's what anger does. Anger says, you owe me. And we ask that question again and again. How long? How long is it going to last to keep it going? That's anger. That's where anger comes from. And I know you think about it and you think about what's going on in your world and you go to that next thing and you're just angry about it. So how do we handle it? How do we deal with it? How do we deal with what that anger is and how that anger comes up in our life? Good news. You can deal with it. You can deal with the anger that comes up in your life, even if it's something in the past. Because here's what we need to know, and sometimes that we don't realize. Wise people understand this. Wise people understand that life is connected. That what we do now becomes our past and will again show up in our future. And so it's how we handle the anger. How do we handle it? Good question. Thanks for asking that. Paul wrote about it. Paul wrote it in Ephesians chapter 4. He talked about what anger was about. And by the way, just as a quick sidestep, if I can pull the bus over for just a second, when Paul wrote about this, he wasn't sitting on some island, drinking pineapple juice and enjoying life. He was in a Roman prison. He was in prison because of what he believed and what he taught. And he had to deal, obviously, with this thing called anger. In Ephesians 4, he writes it this way, and he said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Remember this, people. He was saying, you were taught. You've heard this before. It's like Christianity 101. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I want you to put that off, your old self. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Just for a second there, be made new in the attitude of your minds. That tells us that dealing with anger starts right here. It starts with a choice. I can choose to not be angry. He said, I want you to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He said, I want you to put this on now. Therefore, put off all falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. Just a reminder real quick, that neighbor that won't ever get off your lawn, or that neighbor that is there and never takes care of their lawn, or that neighbor that has the big parties that bothers you at 2:00 in the morning, he was created by the same Father that created you, and therefore you're part of a family. He says, we're all members of one body. So I want you to put off falsehood, and I want you to speak truthfully. And then he goes on, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. In your anger, don't sin. What he's saying is, it's possible to be angry, because anger is an emotion. He's not saying get rid of it, but he said, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let it control you. Where he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. He wasn't saying, look, sun's fixing to go down. Me and you, we got to work this out now, because if we're not, we're going to be sent. No, what he's saying is, in other words, what he's saying is, don't let that anger grow and sit around longer and longer and longer. Deal with it, because he says, when you do that, you give the devil a foothold. You give the devil a foothold. That word foothold means territory or ground. In other words, when you're angry, you give the devil part of who you are. You give him ground. You give him territory in your life. I mean, bitterness invites him to come on in and occupy space in your heart. And anger rents a room. And believe me, when he moves in, he stinks the place up. But Paul says, I want you to get rid of that. And he goes on, he says this, I want you to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. He comes up with six words to describe anger, and we've probably all had those in our lives: bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And here's what he says, I want you to be kind and compassionate. I want you to take off that old stuff, and I want you to put on the new stuff, which is this thing called kindness and compassion. Those two words mean a lot. Compassion talks about sympathy or empathy with somebody else, really understanding what they're going through. You may not experience the same thing that they do. You may not be going through the same thing that that person is going through, but you have an understanding about it. And then he said, I want you to add to that kindness. And kindness really is that extension of compassion. Kindness is taking that compassion and putting it in action, doing something about it. I love what Andy Stanley's definition of kindness. He said, kindness is loaning someone else your strength without reminding them of their weakness. And we're real easy to say, well, I'll do that for you because you're a cripple, you can't do it. Or I'll do this for you because Lord knows you don't know how to do it. No, it's loaning someone your strength without reminding them of their weakness. And he says, kindness looks at a situation and sees compassion, and it does something about it. It does good, as we say. And Paul continues, and with nothing but a comma, he tells us, how do you extend kindness and compassion? He says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Want to get rid of the anger in your life? You want to be more kind and compassionate? Forgive. Forgive. Why? Because forgiveness cancels the debt. Forgiveness says, you no longer owe me. It cancels the debt. What does that look like? How do you experience that? Y'all check it out. See what this video has to say.
When somebody hurts you, what do? Damage has been done. There's a price to be paid, and someone has to pay it. There are two paths you can take. One is vengeance. Make them pay for what they did. Hurt them however you can. This might make you feel better for a short time, but in the end, your heart will only grow colder. The other path, the path that Jesus calls us to, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. It means refusing to demand payback. Instead, you lay down your right to revenge and suffer the cost yourself, releasing the one who hurt you. How do we find the strength to do this? We can do this because Jesus showed us the way. On the cross, Jesus paid the ultimate price to forgive you. Instead of demanding payback for your sin against him, Jesus paid the debt himself, and it hurt to the point of death. But Jesus' death led to resurrection. And when you forgive, when you die to yourself, that death will also lead to resurrection. True forgiveness always involves suffering. It may even feel like death. But remember, Jesus brings the dead to life.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the pathway out of anger. Forgiveness is the way that you deal with anger. And it's not that you'll never be angry again. It's not that you'll never have that emotion well up within you. But what it does, it will cancel that debt. I know forgiveness, as the video said, it is hard. And it involves certain things that are true and certain things that are not true about forgiveness. If you'll look at this slide, it gives you an idea of what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is your choice. Remember, Paul said, I want you to begin with the attitude in your mind. But forgiveness is not forgetting. It doesn't require you to forget, because I know some people, some of you even watching this message today, go, you don't realize the hurt and pain that this person caused me. You don't realize that we grew up without a father, or I grew up without a mother in my home, and because of that, I'll never forget it. You can still forgive. It's a decision to stop trying to control a person or a situation. But what forgiveness is not, it's not saying what happened is okay. Forgiveness is taking responsibility for your piece of the pie. You're part of the anger pie. It's you willing to say, look, I know this is what I've done. But at the same time, you're not letting that person off the hook. You're not letting that person out of what's called justice. Forgiveness is also having healthy boundaries. It's not saying you'll no longer be sad or you wish things had been different. But forgiveness, again, is canceling that debt. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you may have heard of her. If you've not, she is a survivor of the Holocaust. And she was the victim of terrible, terrible atrocities. And if you've ever looked into anything about World War II and the Holocaust and what happened, it was just unspeakable hurt and pain and anger that came from one group of people, Germans, toward another group of people, Jews. And she survived it. She made it. She made it through the Holocaust because of her faith in God and her determination that she was going to do it. And after the war was over and things began to settle down, as it were, she began to go around and speak to groups of people about what it meant to be a Holocaust survivor and how God had made that difference in her life. And I remember reading one day about one particular speaking engagement she was doing, and she got done speaking and talking about God's provision and God helping her make it through that. And she went over to the side of the stage and stood and would greet people, and people began to form a line just to tell her thank you for her story and thank you for sharing that story and how it helped them. And she said at one point she looked, and about two or three people back was a face that she said she would never forget. It was one of the German soldiers, one of the soldiers that had tortured her. And she said in like a blink of a moment, she realized, I've got to forgive. And when he came up, she then describes that conversation as they both wept and held each other and worked through the forgiveness. Later, Corrie Ten Boom would write this, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out that the prisoner was me. Setting the prisoner free only to find out that the prisoner was me. What about you? Are you in that prison? Are you I mean, do you feel like you're just surrounded by walls and bars and you can't get out because of the anger that so controlled your life? Forgive. Forgiveness cancels the debt. Forgiveness sets you free. And it really is for you. I was thinking even this last night in my own quiet time there at the house just by myself about a list of people that I know I need to seek forgiveness, people that I need to forgive for things that have happened in the past, and begin to work through those and then saying, God, it's hard. It's hard to say I'm going to, because I know what this person did. I know what this person did to my family. I know what happened. But forgiveness is that. It's setting the prisoner free and finding out that the prisoner was me. So, do you want to be free? Or do you want to be controlled? Do you want to be free to show kindness and compassion? Then forgive. Forgive as Christ and God, as God and Christ forgave you. That's what forgiveness is. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. God, thank you that you give us a pathway to freedom through forgiveness, and that you can take that anger and things that build up in our lives and we can just release those. And it's not for the benefit of that other person. It's for the benefit of me. It's for the benefit of us. So Father, I pray that as people walk out of here today, that if they're dealing with that anger, that they would just come to you, God, and they would seek forgiveness. And God, that you would show them a heart of compassion and kindness as you always do. And you would extend forgiveness to them so that they can then go and extend that forgiveness to others. And we just ask, God, that you would do that in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.